Jesus Christ. And we go on with the concept of trying to just wrapping our heads around what limitless wisdom might look like. Now, I want you to understand that as I wrote this sermon about limitless wisdom, I was having one of those days in which I didn't really even feel smart all that much, let alone wise to begin with. I had just written out the amount of money for my traffic ticket to Akron Municipal Court. I had just gotten done paying for the deductible for my car to be repaired after a little accident I had had last Friday. And so there are moments in life in which you feel you've got a pretty good handle on everything that you need to do, and all it takes is a split second to remind you otherwise. I've been driving for 27 years, Renettis. Have you got your license yet? I haven't had I haven't had an accident since I was 16, and then lo and behold, there we go. 27 years, I felt I had a pretty good handle on driving, but like I said, in a split second, all of that wisdom, all of that information you thought was most important goes right out of the window. And so I wanted to understand that when I approach this concept of limitless wisdom, it's not that I think that I have discovered limitless wisdom for myself. What I'm trying to say is that I need limitless wisdom every day of my life when I find myself in those gaps of in between what is known and what is not known. And so I approach limitless wisdom today in a twofold manner. There are definitely different ways to approach this sermon, but the way in which I want to talk about it today is to, number one, don't let yourself get too far away from the source. Letting yourself get too far away from the source makes you lose the ability to understand. And number two, to continually to gather information, but don't just gather information, but learn to put that information and process it and put it in motion for the betterment of God's kingdom. Now, as I started working on this sermon, I was reading again the story of King Solomon's coronation, that after his dad's death, after David's death in 1 Kings, Solomon ascends to the throne. And I was thinking about that, and particularly I was thinking about that dream state conversation that Solomon has with God in which he asks for God's wisdom. But I was trying to remind myself about who Solomon was, and so I read some of the previous chapters about it. And I was a little bit surprised. In the previous chapters, Solomon was trying to solidify his grip on the throne. And so what he ended up doing is taking out all of his dad's previous administration. I know when there are changes of leadership, oftentimes all of the administration changes too. We see in the Cleveland Browns with the new head coach, we're getting all brand new coaches. But when Solomon took out the administration, he literally took them out. His older brother Abiathar was sentenced to death, simply for asking Solomon if he could at least choose his own bride. The older brother, seeing the younger brother ascending to the throne, was like, I'm okay with my younger brother being king, but at least allow me to choose my own bride. Well, Solomon saw that as an affront to his own authority and immediately sent somebody to go and execute him. We're going to talk here shortly about what it means to gather information about people and to write stories about them as from the information that we gather. And sometimes the stories that we write about people are completely wrong. And the story that Solomon was writing about his older brother was that the older brother was going to try to overthrow him in his kingship. David's chief general was also removed, literally and eternally, from power. And so into this context comes this dream state conversation that Solomon has with God. And God basically says to Solomon, ask anything you want from me. Ask anything and I'll give it to you. And I think that perhaps God was testing Solomon out. Will he ask for more power? Will he ask for wealth? Will he ask me to take out all of his enemies? Who is this new king going to be? Well, as we come to find out, Solomon didn't need to ask God to take out his enemies. He had done that all the way for himself. He had already taken care of that one. But Solomon wisely asks, he says, Lord, give me a discerning heart. Or in other words, in other translations, it says, Lord, help me to understand. And what I'd like to believe about Solomon is perhaps he was having some second thoughts about the way in which he had conducted himself. That if only he had had the ability to understand his older brother, perhaps he wouldn't have interpreted the information he had received in the way that he did. Perhaps he would have been more compassionate to his older brother. Perhaps he would have been more compassionate to the previous administration. Perhaps all of his decision-making would be different. And perhaps at that moment in his conversation with God, Solomon realized, Lord, I don't have it all together, and I need your wisdom. I need your limitless wisdom in order to lead in a just way. And God was pleased with that response. Time and time again, Solomon goes on in the rest of his time as king, returning to God, returning to the source of his wisdom, and not trusting on his own abilities. When he trusted on his own abilities to gather information, it led to some really tragic results. But instead he says, Lord, let me always return to you for understanding. More information is sometimes not what we need, but understanding is so very crucial to the way in which we conduct ourselves as Christians. I think it's possible to gather so much information about people that there's no way that we could possibly even like anybody. We can gather so much information that we find that, you know what, there is nobody in this world that is likable. On the other hand, when we try to understand, we begin to ask certain questions. And the question that I often ask before when I see somebody that I disagree with is I say, Lord, why do you love this person? Why do you love this person so much, as a matter of fact, that you're willing to send your son to die for them? Now, I may never agree with the person that's standing in front of me that I find a difference with, but when I try to get to the point of asking, why does God love this person so much? Then at least I try to approach a place of understanding. And when I seek understanding, when faith seeks understanding, it's then that we begin to move a little bit closer to the limitless wisdom that God wants us to have in our lives. Let me give you a real quick example. Imagine you've got a coworker named Patty who keeps showing up late for work. Over the last month, she shows up late for work day in and day out. Now, it hadn't always been this way, but for the last month, she just can't seem to show up on time. Now, the very first conclusion that you can make about Patty is perhaps that she doesn't believe in schedules anymore. Perhaps she doesn't think punctuality is important. And perhaps she doesn't think being a part of the team and the rest of us all showing up on time, perhaps she thinks that she runs by a different set of rules. And so what you can do at that point is you can begin to gather information about her. We can gather information about the dates in which Patty is late. We can say how late she is on each date until we compile up a big, big, huge file on Patty's lateness and her tardiness for work. Eventually, we can take that file to her supervisor, and her supervisor can review it, bring Patty in for a consultation, and let Patty know that, Patty, if you are late one more time, this is your final warning. If you're late one more time, then you will be fired. Now, that's the difference of information gathering as opposed to seeking understanding and wisdom. Now, should faith seek understanding? Perhaps the better approach would be to go to Patty and to talk to her and say, you know, what exactly is going on in your life that over this last month you've been late? And when you seek understanding, rather than just simply gathering information about people, rather than just simply writing stories and drawing conclusions about people's lives, when you seek understanding, perhaps a supervisor would have discovered that Patty's mom had just recently been admitted into a new Alzheimer's unit, and her mother was struggling to get settled in. And that every single morning, the facility managers at the Alzheimer's unit were calling Patty to show up at the facility to help to get mom settled down and simply eat breakfast to start the day. Sometimes, as Solomon discovered, he didn't need more information. Solomon gathered all sorts of information about people. In life, sometimes we don't need more information. We need understanding. And understanding is crucial. I don't always like all of my son Ethan's friends. I don't like the way that they dress. I don't like the way that the music that they listen to. And I went to pick up Ethan from hanging out with his friends two Saturday nights ago, and they were hanging around, and I called Cindy right afterwards. I was like, you know what, Ethan's friends looked a little bit shady when we picked him up. And Cindy stopped me right where I was. She's like, Bill, do you remember the music you used to listen to? I'm like, well, Cindy, I still listen to that music. You know, Rick, you like the kind of music, and Matt, you like the kind of music I listen to, but probably not everybody here would be a fan of the music that we listen to. And Cindy was right, not everybody's a fan. And secondly, she's like, you know what? When I first met you, when we first started dating in college, you looked kind of shady too. And I was. And I think about the long hair that I had back in college, and I remember meeting Cindy's dad for the very first time. And Mr. Krause, Gary Krause, looked at me, and he had this stared at me in this silent disbelief. And I reached my hand out to shake his hand, and I don't think he reached his hand out very quickly to shake mine. And I could look into his eyes, and it read very clearly, a clear message to me. I could read it. It said, "Holy smokes, this is who my daughter is dating?" Now, I'm pretty good friends with Gary now. At least I think so. But I would hate to have thought about or have known exactly what he thought of me back then. And Cindy said, "Bill, you weren't a horrible person back then." Well, I kind of was kind of terrible. But the great thing about love and faith seeking understanding is that it sees beyond our horribleness. That Cindy saw something is beyond something that was horrible in me. And God sees beyond the terrible junk in all of our lives. And it's because of that, and because God seeks understanding, and that we seek understanding for others, that wisdom comes to us. So Cindy told me, she said, "Bill, trust your son. You've got a good head on his shoulders. You've raised him to know what's the difference between right and wrong. Say, trust him. Perhaps your son is seeing something in his friends that you are failing to see. Ask Ethan why he likes his friends so much." And that is the truth for all of us. God sees something in us that often the world fails to see. And so when I find myself in those points of making stories up about people and writing stories about their lives and coming to snap judgments, in my better days, I take a step back and I said, "Why, Lord, do you love this person so much that I am struggling to love?" And when I ask that question, I take a moment to pause and to reflect, and I try to move closer to God's limitless wisdom by trying to come to a level of understanding. Now, life isn't also all about simply gathering more information. In a world of information overload, we could gather information in an endless task, an endless tedious task, until we're blue in our faces. But eventually we have to come to a point in which we say, yes, we've done our homework, we've gathered enough information, and now it's important to, in order to move towards a place of wisdom, to gather this information, process it, and move to a place of action for the betterment of the kingdom of God. For instance, Cindy was telling me yesterday that she had a student come into her classroom a couple years ago, and the student was accompanied by a huge file, several inches thick, of information about her. Now, this little girl could not walk. She was wheelchair-bound. She couldn't move her legs. She couldn't move her arms. She couldn't speak. The only thing that moved on her body was her eyes. She couldn't say a word. And Cindy saw this huge file that came in along with accompanied this girl into the classroom, and it scared Cindy to death, and she asked herself, "How in the world am I going to be able to teach this little girl? What am I going to have to do?" Now, she could have studied every little piece of paper in that file, and she could have gathered endless amounts of information about her. But it wasn't until Cindy simply had the courage to ask the girl a question that she realized this little girl could speak just fine, just in a different way. Amazing things about modern technology is this little girl was able to communicate with the computer by the movement of her eyes. And what came out of this girl was this most beautiful answer to my wife, of just exactly what she needed to be a successful student in that classroom. Information, more information was not what my wife needed. What she needed was action, and a simple of action of just simply asking the question. And that's then that wisdom came. Do you want more information in life, or do you actually want to live the life that God has called you to do? James talks about, James chapter 1, 22 says, you know, the word of God is not meant to simply be read or simply to be heard. The word of God is meant to be lived. See, don't just be readers, don't just be doers, or don't just be hearers and readers, be doers of the word. It's something in the action, it's something in the motion of living out God's word where wisdom comes to us. Now, an example. Do you simply imagine the very first time that you fell in love with somebody? Imagine the very first time that you decided to kiss that person. In that time period, we could gather all sorts of information about what that moment was like. Do you want that big file of information, or do you want the actual living and the action of the moment? For instance, in this young man, when he's approaching his girlfriend, we can gather all sorts of information about his bodily responses. We can measure his heart rate. That as he approached his girlfriend, his heart rate went from 60 beats a minute to 102 beats a minute. We can measure his sweat glands and how much sweat he was putting out, particularly in his hands and his armpits. We could take a test of his blood levels and see what the increased oxytocin levels that were growing in his blood as he approached her. We could see how deeply his eyes dilated as he went in for that first kiss. We can gather endless amounts of information that will never lead us to wisdom, but the action, the living, is what we need. I think that same thing goes for God's Word and the Bible, that we can study and study and study Scripture till our hearts are content, but until we choose to live it, sometimes we struggle to find the wisdom in it. And there are passages that I have struggled to find the wisdom in until I've chosen to live them. One of those passages was about tithing. I remember I didn't learn about tithing until I went on to graduate school and to become a minister. My parents never talked about tithing in our household, and it's only there in graduate school I learned that giving 10% of our income is what God asks of us. And I thought to myself as a seminary student, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And so for me, that scripture just became another piece of information that I piled up in this other big jumbled mess in my mind. Of pieces of information that I would later tell myself, you know what, I'm going to probably just disregard it and toss it out. That is until I actually chose to do it. And I can't understand exactly why this is true, that giving more to God and giving less to myself helped me do this. But by doing so, I achieved a new level of financial freedom that I never had known beforehand. Sometimes wisdom comes in the action. Sometimes wisdom comes in the living of God's Word. Jesus tells us to go out and love our neighbor. Has anybody here ever had a bad neighbor? Ever? Carol, I know we've talked about a struggle that you've had with one of your neighbors. I've been very fortunate to have had some pretty awesome neighbors in my life, many of whom have become really good friends. But Jesus goes on and says, you know what, you're supposed to love even your enemy. And loving our enemies is a really tough thing. Because even though I've been pretty fortunate to have some pretty nice people live around me in my life, I have hated. And during those years in which my heart has been kind of junked up with that hatred, hating more never helped me a single bit. So on the other hand, when I allowed God's love to come into my life, it was the love of Jesus Christ that was a cure for the poison of hatred that I was living. And you can't sometimes see it until you live it. Wisdom isn't about just gathering more information. It's about taking the information that we have and putting it forward, putting it in motion, and allowing the kingdom of God to grow through the actions that we take. There was a quote from one of the books that I've been reading. So I'm paraphrasing that a part of that Astrophysics for People in a Hurry, Steve. And the author said something like this. I'm giving a really rough paraphrase. He said, there are all sorts of know-it-alls in this world that claim to know everything that there is to know. He's like, all of those know-it-alls will continue to live in absolute ignorance until they come to recognize that there are huge gaps between what we know and what we don't know. Perhaps those know-it-alls just aren't looking very hard, because I have found those gaps time and time again in my life, in which I fail, any wisdom that I might have has failed me completely. And in those moments where wisdom fails me, I run into the loving arms of Christ, and I said, Lord, help me to understand. It's there in the arms of Christ that I find the courage again to go back out and to try to live this faith that we practice. And so for me, I need to find limitless living in Jesus Christ. I need to be guided by a limitless faith. I need that limitless wisdom in the times in which all the information that I have that I thought I could trust, in those moments that life fails. Friends, seek understanding. That's what faith does. And take the information that you have and put it into action for the growing kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please stand for our closing worship?